everybody. Welcome to Street Fight Radio. We're doing it again. Yay! Thanks for coming back or checking us out if it's your first time. If you've seen us barely mentioned in a hit piece recently, I'm glad you took more time than the people that write them to check us out. We are, of course, Street Fight Radio, the number one anarcho-comedy radio show on any station across the nation. We've been doing this for 6 years now, spreading this mess across the U.S., trying to put an end to the Republican and Democrat solutions. Their regime, the ruling class, is over. It's a people's party, and like a real party, though, like hanging out and drinking and not going to work type shit. Something different than what they've got us signed up for. It begins, you know, very humbly in the heart of it all, the heartland, Columbus, Ohio. And my phone is making notifications. And the goal really is just to revolutionize what can be done and make a different choice. So thank you for starting with step number one, which is listening to us every single week.
That's true. Again, the empire is declining. We mentioned that in the last episode. The Pentagon has said that the empire is declining. I like to think that Street Fight has a little something to do with that. What about you, Brett?
I remember after only a few years being on the airwaves, getting the credit rating of the United States downgraded from a AAA to a AA.
Right.
So just by us harping and yelling and being crotchety.
Yeah, we're just always mad about everything, which was like, oh, well, you know, if they're mad about it, then everything's got to be fucked up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Did you see that story about, and it's such an old school story, about the guy that was trying to request the song My Axe from a radio station in Boston and then drove up to the radio station with a car full of axes and was like, you're going to play My Axe.
My Axe is an ICP song for the uninitiated. And actually, a pretty intriguing lyrics on that one.
Yeah, yeah. I used to be really like obsessive about trying to get them to play songs that I like, because back, it's so weird, and you can tell this guy is my age because he's treating it like I did back then. It's like, if the radio doesn't play it, then they're not going to be as big as they could, you know what I mean? They'll probably hang it up and quit doing the damn Two Live Crew thing.
Yeah, and it is a great stunt. It seems like it's a great way to support your band, you know? Like, no Street Fight fans have done that out of any sort of devotion.
Well,
you know?
They can't do that. They could call the Blitz, call Loper on the Blitz and say, Loper, play Street Fight. I'll take that job, by the way. I mean, I want a night shift, but I will take that Blitz job if they want to pay me some money.
Yeah, and so, you know, once again, like, just a guy that wanted to get this song played. And I'm going to read the second verse, actually, because I listened to the song because I was thinking, you know, this doesn't look good for ICP fans, because people assume that this guy, first of all, doesn't have a sense of humor, which they all have a sense of humor, right?
Do you think he was going up there like, well, I'm just playing around, dude, with my axes. You know what I'm saying? My
having axes. Fun. I love this band. I love Faygo. And they have a song about an axe. Now, in the song, maybe this is what they didn't want to confront. This is why they didn't want to play on the airwaves. It says, look into the deadest tree. Tell me, baby, what you see. Don't you hear the branches cry, asking for the reasons why? If they hang so many men from the branches off of them, why did the humans make them play with them in their evil way? Looks into the moon's beam. Can you fathom what it's seen? Bodies dragging from a truck, driven by a bigot fuck. Why you think that heavens cry, acid rain and blizzard sky? Ain't no covering tracks, and that's why I'm here. And oh yes, my axe is my buddy.
Yeah. He'll wow. So it's an anti-race. He's talking about hate crimes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go, I got this axe. I'm going to chop down a tree, first of all, because they hang people from them. But I'm also going to use it to murder racists.
Yes.
That's why the cops are so fired up about it.
It does. It doles out justice. Yes, a different kind of justice.
Can you imagine the FBI has them designated as a gang, and like, they're not they're singing anti-racist. If you're anti-racist, the government's like, we got to do something about this.
They aren't acting right.
Same thing with Antifa too. They're like they're constantly trying to frame Antifa guys and anarchists, and you know they got laws against anarchist materials and stuff like that. And then you also have this other part of the spectrum of these juggalos that are just like vehemently anti-racist,
and that's a threat to the nation.
That is a threat to the nation. It really is.
No, we don't do things like that here in America.
And they're class war guys too. I mean,
they hate businessmen.
The first chorus is, "My axe is my buddy. We right the planet's wrongs. Me and my axe leave bigots dead on Richie lawns." That's just so cool, man. That is really like the misogyny. Yes, there is that. I think we have to face up
men,
to that.
Men still have to have that conversation. We need to go to our locker rooms and we need to fix it.
Yeah, they are not the only rappers. And they love women, though. Yeah. I'm sure they see themselves as like loving women. You know?
They talk about it a lot. They love all of them.
Not that way. The kind of loving that they're talking about is different, though.
You know, I actually, one of the things I admired most about it, because we listened to ICP all the way back and forth from Chicago when we went, and they are really openly into, like, ugly people fucking, which seems like it's mean-spirited in that. But I think it's also just to say, like, have enjoyable sex, a lot of it. It doesn't matter what you fucking look like. It's what feels good, you know?
Yeah. I mean, 50% of the songs about killing people. The other 50% of the songs are about having sex. Like, those right. are the two things they love to do. They like to fuck and have sex.
Yeah, they're like the most. They're or like
fuck
the rest
and kill
of us.
And have sex.
They're like the rest of us.
Yeah, man, we all live that way, don't we? Oh, man. Yeah, that was a story. I got that sent to us a lot.
We did.
I don't know, man. I wish we could get a legal fund together for this guy.
Yeah, I think I would like to know what's going on with him. Maybe we should follow up because I worry that they're going to make with that gang designation, they can get extra punishment out of it.
Oh, no.
You know?
That's true. Let's look and see if there's any updates on this. You want to let's check right now because it's in Massachusetts too. That's one of the big coastal towns where the laws are like 10 times worse than other places.
They can get them with a RICO charge.
Yeah.
I can't imagine anybody followed up on that. They just do it to point and laugh. That's why you report on it.
That's true. Anytime you report on juggalos,
they should have played the song at least. Everybody should have at least attached the YouTube video. I think for me, this is also a situation where just play the song. Why do you just play the song?
Never just play the song. They're not that nimble. That's why radio fucking sucks, because like the person that's sitting in that, well, usually not even a person anymore, it's a robot. They're like, why don't people listen to radio anymore? And it's like, because a robot plays the same 15 songs all day.
Yeah,
there's not even a personality on there. And then when you get to the personalities, they're
awful. You're like, get them off of here quick.
Yeah. Man, it is, they do, like, the headline in the Columbus Dispatch for this is axe-wielding juggalo prompt standoff after radio song request. So, like, juggalos are so mainstream now, like, they're a thing that people in the mainstream know what they are, so they can report on it in that way. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but what if they would have showed up and, but they could have just played the song and said, hey, a guy with an axe showed up and demanded we play that song. That would have been a great story.
That would be the street fight way. If you show up to the studio, if you request the song and then show up to the studio with an axe, I will play that song.
Get him. Where's the aux cord? I'll put it on my phone. Bring it up on YouTube. Can you bring it up on YouTube for me?
I mean, I want to help people that are passionate about
things.
That's true. And if they're passionate about hearing an anti-racist ICP song, then let me give them a hand.
That's true. That's a big life lesson that they need to learn. Cooperation. You need to be a cooperative. It'll get you out of these United Airlines situations, all of these police situations. Cooperative, not force. Cooperative.
Yeah, let somebody sit on the guy's lap on the United Airlines.
Whatever you have to do to get it to work.
Bring in another damn plane. And like, you know, it's like, well, it turns out we have another, we'll let him fly on a private jet. Maybe a helicopter.
Exactly.
Maybe helicopter that motherfucker somewhere. You know, Shane McMahon was in a helicopter crash today.
What?
Yeah.
No, that's how we lost Kennedy's.
That's Well, that's not a tragedy.
Our political families.
The Knights of Camelot or whatever they call
them.
Yeah,
the Knights of Charlemagne.
Yeah, Shane McMahon was in a helicopter. Do you ever want to do a helicopter?
Yeah, I do. Even that like Batcopter that you don't have to pay $35 to ride at the fair. I've always wanted to do that one even.
Can we do that with Street Fight money this year?
Yeah.
I'm like really scared to do it, but like I would be, I want to do it now. Now that you bring it up, it's like, what's it, $70?
Yeah, they give you a package deal. Usually you can get like a 2-for-1 or something.
It's weird that it would be me and you doing it together. I mean, we're buddies.
Yeah.
Right? We're pals. But
you need to hang on to somebody.
I've had enough of autoplay ads these days. Well, no, I think with you in there, I'll be afraid to hold on to you because I still have gender and sexuality norms pounded into my head. So I'll be like
toxic masculinity.
Yes, I'm steeped in toxic masculinity. So I'll still want to be tough. But I see for people that aren't state fair fans and aren't from Ohio, at the Ohio State Fair, they have a helicopter that'll just fly you once around the city real quick for like a pretty decent price, like in a kind of expensive price. And I want it. I've always seen it happening. And I'm like, I guess it's so expensive. And that's always been my get out. That's how I get out of it. It's like, I ain't paying that kind of money for that. But really, I think I might be scared. So if somebody was like, I will pay for you to take the helicopter ride, I want to see if I can summon the bravery to do the helicopter ride.
Okay.
You know,
I'll put the money where your mouth is.
I get nervous when I'm on the chairs that are on cords that run across the sky ride,
the skyline
across the fair. I'm like, dude, that's terrifying to me. I get a little scared every time it goes up and has to go across the little wheels and then gets a little lower. I'm like, can I die from this height? Is this a high? And I remember when my daughter was like 4, I took her on it and she was a little nervous. And I was like, kid, I got to tell you the truth. I'm like trying to deal with my own stuff right now.
I can't be here. I can't be your rock. Yeah. I have always wanted to hang glide ever since I was a kid. That's the number one thing I've always wanted to do.
You can do that in Ohio. Use the street fight money. We'll use the business money for that too. Hang gliding. That seems a little scary to me. Do you got to get a license to do it? It sounds like something the government would make you get a license to do.
I think you could probably tandem on that with like a instructor.
No, you don't want to do tandem with an instructor, maybe with your wife or with me or something like that. But I don't want to strap myself to something. Like, I don't want to enjoy this moment with some fucking stranger.
Some cool hang glider instructor named like Hawk or something.
Probably, I see hang glider as like a hippie thing.
Yeah.
Don't you?
I immediately thought of gray hair with like a ponytail.
Yeah.
A braided ponytail.
I mean, a person has to, a hang gliding instructor has to be a person who, instead of getting like a regular job, decided like, all I want to do is hang glide for the rest of my life.
I'm like a bird. I just feel free when I'm up there.
Yeah. So the kind of person that dedicates their life to
smart people.
Hell yeah. I agree. I had to wait till I was 37 to figure all that stuff out. Like, do what you're good at and you'll make your way in the world. Like, hang glider instructor just like is a person that they probably figured it out earlier than me. You know?
Yeah. You got to take a lot of lunches in the sky though, to get into the competitive market. Of hang gliding to get in the field, I bet.
I mean, there's a section of Ohio, the Hocking Hills, like the southern part of Ohio, where there's all kinds of carnies making a living with like zip line tours.
Oh,
they'll just run some zip lines across some trees and bring people in and make them pay $60 and sign a thing so they can zip line around the woods.
Yeah, that's a great way to see the forest. Get it done real quick. Instead of walking it, like I got like 90 minutes. Can I just sign up for a package for the fam?
Yeah. They don't even explain why. I was gonna do the Shane McMahon story, but they don't even like really explain. Like, it says he was in a helicopter landing, and then it just talks about Shane, like what he does on wrestling all the time. It's like, I want to know what he was doing up in a helicopter, man.
Yeah, and how did he like? How did he survive?
He landed in the water.
What?
They crash landed in the water, man. I mean, a lot of times, like, they're trained.
Yeah, to land, you have to know how to do it.
To land in the water, like crash land. So the pilot was probably one. I mean, if you're a rich guy like him, you can afford the best pilot. Like, the pilot we're going to get at the fair is probably not going to be the best pilot.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. The job was probably just forced into his lap.
Yeah, do you think he's a guy that works for, like, the state highway patrol, and they're like, oh, now you got to drive rubes around, you got to fly rubes around the city for 2 weeks.
I was just thinking the carny that's the best with engines.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. So, yeah, helicopters.
Yeah, great vehicle.
I actually don't like helicopters, because they're kind of like the tool of the police. Like, the police are the most helicopter used.
That's true.
People.
Yeah, they're too specific. You can't they're not like buses that you can do with helicopters. Well, they should get like the troop helicopters, take those from overseas, and then turn them into transportation in the cities, like a bus.
Yeah.
You know, some of those cargo helicopters from like Command and Conquer.
I mean, I want to get rich enough that we can helicopter around to like our gigs. Like, we'll call the bar ahead of time and be like, do you have a helipad on top?
We'll have to get an app. We'll get the heli app.
There is an app now that's like Lyft for helicopters or private planes or something like that. It's like expensive. It's for rich people.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But they do have it now. Lyft for helicopters. We should just get one of those.
Okay. Sounds like a good use of money. I'm glad we talked about this on the air so that the subscribers know where their money's going.
Yeah, helicopter. Your money is going to go to a helicopter ride. And also, we're going to get high before we do it. Also, another future plan is maybe to play bingo somewhere. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's the money.
Okay.
That's what we do, man.
Okay, we're going to put that in the budget. I'm going to put that on pin in that.
Write that in the whole thing. So, Jeff Sessions is at it again, Brett.
Yeah, he's
a round-headed dickweed.
Yeah, he's cartoonishly bad. He's the worst.
I can't believe he's a threat to us. Like, he is a real threat to people like us. Like, he fucking hates us.
I have to say right now, I've noticed how much I've ignored this, because I just, this kind of stuff infuriates me.
Oh my God, it gets me sweating when I see Jeff Sessions in a headline. I start sweating.
This is when I'm like, no more government, all of it, fuck it. I don't want to be socialized with anybody. I don't want to be hooked up. I don't want anyone making fucking decisions for me.
It's when anarchism, that's when you're like, okay, I know I say I'm a socialist a lot of times, but I'm still an anarchist at heart.
I do not want people making decisions like this about my life.
Yeah. I mean, that's Jeff Sessions is the type of thing that makes me not like ever want to give the government any power at all.
Yeah.
You know, because he has all the worst ideas and like is just, he is so against my lifestyle that is not hurting anybody, you know?
Yeah, it's all, it's all just an agenda that those folks get away with, and they've jerry-rigged the whole government to put themselves in power. And his big idea that most recently has become famous for is bringing back the DARE program.
That is a stupid idea. That's true. He was defending the DARE program, which he claims... the DARE program, which he claims was just smeared. It was it was actually successful, but it's been smeared in the media. And we've been getting DARE stories lately, you know. Remind me to get to that after. He has made it. Attorney General Jeff Sessions made it easier Wednesday for local authorities to expropriate cash, cars, and land without proof of wrongdoing when they allege the assets are connected to a crime.
Oh, fuck. Civil forfeiture, you mean?
Yeah, which had been, during the Obama years, kind of on the way out.
Well, yeah, I mean, still a lot of it going on.
A lot of it going on, but they were curtailing.
No, they curtailed a lot of it. I mean, there, some of it has been shut down, I think, because it became a big issue. There was those towns in Texas where they made all of their budget off of it. They were just hunting down people that looked crimey enough that they could take all their shit and find something, find a roach on them, and then be like, all right, this is all criminal.
God, Texas, what a fucking hellhole, man.
Yeah.
With them laws. With fucking, they
the talk about
freedom. They talk about freedom all day, and then the cops can pull you over on the side of the road and take your fucking blood from you.
Yeah, they are anything but free there.
I don't want to hear about Texas. Texas freedom. We got all the freedom down in Texas.
Yeah. Like,
fuck you, man. Everybody's driving their cars and having a fucking meltdown inside because they're afraid of what the fucking crazy cowboy-hatted cop is going to do to them on the side of the road. The reform allows for police to once again sidestep state laws that restrict or forbid property seizure without criminal conviction. Through a process called adoption, a cut of up to 80% will go to local police when they ask a federal agency to process a seizure. I like how they take something good, adoption, and make it a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I love, oh, adoption, man, that's great, man. People fucking adopt. This is great, you know? And then it's like, oh, no. This is a different kind of adoption where the government can just take people's shit.
We just adopted your car. We're going to do something else with it. Mainly sell it for money and split it up with the governments. Well, between the different agencies.
And his speech, so he gave a little thing. As President Trump knows well, so, that's disgusting that he says, when you think of President Trump, like he is in damn charge. As he knows well, civil asset forfeiture is a key tool that helps law enforcement defund organized crime. That's not what they're doing. They are stealing from people. What? Organized crime, or they take people's Lamborghinis and turn them into dare police cars. That's what it is,
folks. The mafia, they are leasing Ford Fusions to transport drugs. We take them, we adopt those Ford Fusions. They miss it on the payments, their credit is ruined. They're not going to be able to get Ford Fusions anymore. It's that simple.
We take $450 off of people that we pull over on the side of the road, and that really hurts the mafia.
Yeah, this is bullshit, man. I don't know how they can feel okay doing this. This is one of those. It's one of those things, and it's kind of like when you get addicted to cheating because it feels cool that it's like you're not supposed to do it and nobody knows except for you, the person you're cheating with. It's this, you're like on the bad squad, like you're on the bad team. And so it's easy kind of go along with it. It's like, yeah, we can do whatever the fuck we want. You know, that's what we've been proving over and over again about the police in this country.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We even have more police stories, but, I think I want to go back and touch on a part of this story that I think is important. And that is like the fact that he passed a law so that in states where it's forbidden. So some states have forbidden civil asset forfeiture.
Right.
Right. He passed a law to override.
Great.
Those state laws.
Great.
And like, if you sit down and talk to any fucking moron with a Semper Fi sticker on the back of their car and a fucking a camouflage fanny pack, they'll tell you that Republicans are like anti-federal government. And I can't think of anything more federal government than overriding state laws, which is what this fucking guy has been trying to do since he stepped into that office, whether it's drug laws or these civil asset forfeiture laws.
You're right.
He doesn't leave the state. He doesn't
overbearing federal crackdowns.
Yeah, and he doesn't leave it up to the states. You know, I guess the only thing you really supposed to leave up to the states is whether allowed to have slaves or not to these people. You know.
Yeah. Oh God!
So at the
fine. It was one of those moments where I was just listening to and like, right on, Brian, right on.
Yeah. Well, it's frustrating because I've had these conversations with my father-in-law a lot of times where he explains to me the difference between Republicans and Democrats or liberal and conservative. I wouldn't dare say right or left because neither one of them are right or left. It's another thing entirely, you know?
Yeah.
It's like right-wing libertarians and left socialists and communists don't, neither side of that is going to agree with federal civil asset forfeiture, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's exactly what it is, too. If you take away all the labels, went to the mall, said you were doing the Pepsi challenge, and in the middle of the Pepsi challenge, you were just like, do you think cops should be able to take people's cars? And they'd be like, fuck no. Okay, and which one did you think was the Pepsi? All right, thank you.
And it's just
like no one would agree. Like it's something that I don't think they can win on. You're right, but people have a concept of what it means to be that. And it's when Obama and the Democrats, which they didn't do a very good job of wielding the power that they had to put any sort of socialist agenda in place, even though that's what they scream. You know, that's still the point. They were screaming and yelling about all these federal mandates, and they claimed to be states' rights people and all of that, and then just do the opposite thing. And, you know, that's really what we're stuck in now is the cultural thing where people are just signed up to be on the red team, really, you know, even if a fucking idiot like Jeff Sessions is one of their leaders.
It's just a lie. It's
a lie.
It
right,
talks
too.
About it speaks to like, so we can try to sit and figure out what regular people are thinking when they vote for these people. But like, truthfully, nobody's getting anything they want from these people. And it's all a lie. What I don't know that like people that went into the voting booth and voted for Donald Trump, there would be a significant amount of them that would not be okay with civil asset forfeiture. There are a lot of them that I know, because I know these people that would
scream bloody murder.
Yeah, or with the marijuana laws, just make that gun laws. You know what I mean? Let's not even talk about marijuana laws, because that's, people think that's like a dude bro libertarian thing to want to change. You know what I mean? Let's go, or conservatives think it's just a hippy dippy thing. Let's take it to the conservative side. If the federal government makes laws about gun ownership, they fucking lose their minds. They get mad when the states do it too, but they don't want the federal government doing it all. I don't think that there's any right way to vote. You know, I can't, or even how you choose how you're going to vote, how you parse the issues when it's time to vote, because they're all completely and utterly full of shit.
Yeah. It's failing in every possible way. And a lot of the time is spent really just raising money. I believe that the story goes that more than half of their time is literally sitting at a desk and calling people on the phone and sweet talking them for money. And, you know, they're kind of just pawns in chess games. It's really pitiful as far as representative democracy goes. It's just an embarrassment, and it doesn't make any sense. Nobody's crying out for this. He's coming up with this because of his own pathologies, you know, and weird relationships to stuff that has nothing to do with us. It's that Christian fascism, man. They're so into it, and they're trying to go as hard as they can now.
Well, yeah, and I can even put another point onto this that doesn't even indict the conservatives. You know what I mean? So you would think a liberal would go in voting. They're going in voting for what they believe to be left policies, right? Like that when a liberal goes in,
yeah,
they believe that what they're doing is a left cause. And Donna Brazile is somebody who's run a few campaigns. She ran some of the Clinton campaigns. She's a Democratic operative. And yesterday on Twitter, there was some news about Russia that I didn't understand. I think they demanded we do something and we did it. And she tweets, the communists are now dictating the terms of the debate. That is such a Republican thing. I don't want the progressive foreign policy to be anti-communist too. You know, I don't, it's like,
yeah, conceivably Democrats are made up of at the farthest left, the communists too.
Yeah.
Even in the mind, like that's just for my high school social, like my high school social studies class understanding of the world, you know?
I guess it's just my big complaint is that this country fucking sucks so bad and nobody's getting what they want.
Yeah,
you know, and the government and the political class is so out of control, and they're doing things that just enrich them and just enrich rich people, and nobody's getting what they want. But they're somehow always able to convince half of this country that they're getting something. You know what I mean? That they're and it's really just spite. It's like there's just people that are so glad that Donald Trump's president because their fucking liberal nephew hates them. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And they are also actively shutting down any voices. If you're anti-racist, they'll shut you down. If you're anti-capitalist, they'll shut you down. They're spying and infiltrating these groups on the regular.
I mean, the only groups they're not infiltrating are the racist groups, the Ku Klux Klan, the goddamn alt-right, the police, which we know is made up of a large number of white supremacists. You would think that the damn Democrats would be out here saying, like, we need to purge the police departments of these fucking Nazis that we know there are. I know for a fact that there's one Nazi that still has a job in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
It's something we covered on this show last year, right?
Yeah, and there's been more uncovered since.
Well, yeah, I've been talking about it since the election, and I know that, like, it's crazy that this was just a thing that popped into my mind during the election, but the cops are Nazis. Like, there's a lot of the cops are Nazis.
Yeah, that's true.
The white ones, just the white ones, are mostly Nazis to me. It's just Jeff Sessions, fuck you, man. Like the next time somebody tells me like this, like anytime somebody says a law enforcement is really up for a law, like really like law enforcement is loving this law. It's like, get rid of it. Get rid of the law.
Yeah, they seem to insist on creating a job for themselves, which means finding people to arrest.
Now, I'm against it, Brett.
Yeah, I mean, in civil forfeiture, it's easy to buy vehicles and body armor and new cars and all that if you're taking people's stuff from them, making money off of it.
Yeah. So while we're talking about law enforcement, I have a couple of more stories for the cops. I hate law enforcement. It's such a, like, they only enforce certain laws.
Yeah, only if you get caught is enforced.
Yeah, yeah. Body camera video produced Wednesday appears to show a Baltimore police officer plant drugs in late January, an act that later resulted in a criminal arrest.
Whoa.
The 90-second...
He didn't know it was on?
I mean, they wear them around their necks, don't they?
Yeah, I thought they're like pinned to their chest. Okay. They're probably not checking them, though.
Oh, God, no. No, for sure.
I mean, unless it's like a high-profile thing, I don't think they're reviewing them.
The 90-second Baltimore police body camera video, which was made public by the Maryland Office of the Public Defender, belongs to Officer Richard Pinheiro, who appears to hide and later find drugs among trash strewn on a plot next to a Baltimore residence. The two other officers appear to be with Pinheiro as he hides the drugs.
And I mean, and this is something New York City is famous for this for a very long time.
Yeah.
Decades of people got drugs planted on them in New York City.
Yeah. And they're doing it everywhere, too. They're planting drugs on people everywhere.
There's just elements of it. You know, it's just really upsetting that there's no critique of the police. And it's really shocking that the people are just in a phase where you really can't ask any questions of them. You know, there's just really aren't open for any sort of dialogue about this stuff. For now, I mean, the amount of pressure that's been on for several years now, and I still get like a shaky voice when I start to say something at the cookout to somebody, you know?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Where it's like, oh, fuck, like this is... You know, I'm going to have to say I don't like the police so much, or the police maybe aren't brave soldiers that protect everybody.
I mean, my opinion on them is that they're terrible.
Well, I mean,
so it's even harder. I'm already compromising when I'm when I'm having a discussion like you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't mind a guy helping if I fucking put my car in a ditch or,
don't
you know,
do that.
Why not?
They just don't do, they ticket you. Get your car out of the damn ditch. is what they do for you. I've seen.
No, I mean, that's, well, whatever. Go ahead.
You think the cops are pulling people out of ditches?
That's what they do. They're first responders for a lot of stuff.
That's not what they're doing now.
I saw them do it the other day.
Oh, you're not. Listen to this propagandist for the police department.
I'm just ready. I'm just having more real conversation about it.
Trying to be real, man. I get it. You. So.
I mean, I'm not gonna sign on to say the police are Nazis.
Yeah, I am. I'm saying that there are a lot of police at the police department that are Nazis. I am signing on to that. I think there's white supremacists that work for the police department.
I agree with
you. I don't
you.
Think that's like a conspiracy theory.
No,
or
no, I don't
like that.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's proven. People have fucking. There's
I know that.
Research. That's
I know
done
that.
For
I've
it.
Seen it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Though I'm not saying the police are like. I'm not saying the police are marching people into ovens, but there's a lot of fucking Nazis on the police force. It's an actual like serious concern. It's not an exaggeration that I like made up.
Right, but Nazis did march people into ovens.
Okay, they're not. They're not the Nazis from 1940s. Anybody
right.
who thinks that I said that the police are the Nazis from 1940s Germany. I did not mean that. They're different kind of Nazis. They're the new kind. Currently the case is under investigation as we've referred to internal affairs of the Baltimore Police Department. Debbie Katz-Levy, head of Baltimore Public Defender's so the public defenders are like, we've long supported the use of police body cameras to help identify police misconduct, but such footage is meaningless if prosecutors continue to rely on these officers, especially if they do so without disclosing their bad acts. Police played four other videos for the media on Wednesday afternoon to provide additional context. They want to give you context on the drug planting. So I guess I'm trying to get the FOP, FOP's response to this.
He already got convicted?
No, he's not convicted.
Oh, okay.
It's under investigation and they're saying some kind of context. There's some kind of context, like they actually found real drugs on the guy, but also the planted drugs.
Oh,
is kind of their argument. So
we tried to plant drugs on him, but he already had drugs on him.
Yeah. He's still breaking the law.
I put my hand in my pocket in his pocket to plant some drugs on him, and I felt some other drugs. That's how I knew he had drugs on him.
Yeah, and so. They said in the first two videos, officers procure two gel capsules of heroin. The third video has officers approaching the alleged seller of the heroin and shows them arresting the man on whom they found marijuana and a gel capsule of heroin, police said. In the fourth video, officers undertake an extensive search of a yard identified by the dealer for more drugs. Police said they recovered a plastic bag with 25 gel capsules of heroin. So they found marijuana and one gel capsule of heroin. They said, where do you live? He pointed to his house, and that's where the drugs had been planted earlier. So they basically, if you were like if you were like a fan of like vigilantes and Batman, you'd be like, oh, they knew this guy was a heroin dealer and they got to get him put in prison for an extra long time.
So can you explain it one more time what happened?
In the first two videos, officers procure two gel capsules of heroin. The third video has officers approaching the alleged seller of the heroin and shows them arresting the man on whom they found marijuana and gel capsule of heroin. In the fourth video, officers undertake an extensive search of a yard identified by the dealer for more drugs. Police said they recovered a plastic bag with 25 gel capsules of heroin. And anybody that's been busted with drugs know that 25 is a lot of something to get by. Like, the police would think, like, let's fucking get 25 of them on them. You know, they don't have no idea how much drugs is what. You know what I mean?
25 is a good amount to have.
25 is a fucking lot of heroin.
Yeah.
So, yeah. They did it to get, it seems to me like they did it to get a heavier charge on a guy that they knew was probably selling drugs already. Hmm. And that's the thing. They set people up and they fuck people's lives up that maybe you shouldn't have the most, we can throw that person. He's a fucking heroin dealer. Yeah. Who cares? You know?
Yeah. This is where they're like, it's just not helpful. This is where like people start believing they're there to serve and protect. And it's like, what is this? What are they doing for this guy? Just trying to bust him. Bust is the word. That's the worst way. We're in America is all about busting people.
Yeah. And so get him badly.
Get him bad. Yeah. Ruin his life. Get him a charge. Make sure he can't get employment ever again. Take away his life. I mean, there's just nothing. We don't offer anything else. And that's, and the type of shit that we say is like, that is a problem. Like, that's the kind of voices they don't want. It's for people to say something like, can the cops do something besides like plant drugs on people to bust them or beat the shit out of them? Or
that's just, they don't, that's what their job.
Yeah.
Tends
enforce,
to be,
enforce,
you know, enforce, yeah. But that, and like,
or they got, you see the cops got in trouble. Shit. Oh man. In Columbus for, they got in trouble for that protest on January 30th. I think the one that they...
Oh, yeah, I got that. Give me 2 seconds.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Well, no, I don't have it, but if you give me 2 seconds, I can have it. But
Sorry.
No, it's fine. Yeah, So the police department... I want to get to the police department's...
Yeah, get the other one.
I want to get to the police department statements because those are always the best parts of articles. they're always the best parts of the articles for these because it's them like doing their like, because the Fraternal Order of Police is not going to be like, I can't believe like these guys are planting drugs on people. You know, it just takes a few bad apples to spoil the whole, but they don't even do the bad apples thing.
Yeah.
The Fraternal Order of Police doesn't even do, we have a few bad apples.
No, they will.
They will defend to the death the scummiest cop, you know?
Yeah, it is. It's all. It's just, once again, makes them not on our side. It's one of those things where you're like, you're, everybody here, citizenry, everybody I know, I think is expecting that you would not want to have some of these awful officers in your mix. And they just defend them every single time. And I don't know why. I don't know why they can't admit any wrongdoings. The numbers come out all the time. How many grand juries and all of that shit. And nothing happened.
Nothing
they got
ever happened.
Zachary Rosen guy got fired, which was a big win for Columbus.
It was like
the Fraternal Order of Police came out and said they were pissed about it.
And they're going to try to get him his job back. They're going into arbitration. They're defending him. It's just the guy kicked the dude in the back of the head with handcuffs on, and they're going to defend him. Like their job is. But this body camera thing, I want to get into. So the reason this body camera video. So Davis and Deputy Police Commissioner Jason Johnson suggested that it implied that they were reenacting the recovery of drugs for the body camera. Which is also inappropriate, but not as bad, right?
No, that's really bad.
Really bad for us, okay? Like, the police are like going out there and doing an act for the body camera. Like, that they were saying, no, we found these 25 heroin. Basically, the release of this body camera video tells me, and hopefully the public, that there was a little more to this story. And what their argument is that they searched the guy's yard, right? They found the drugs. And then they were like, we found these drugs. Let's plant the drugs again with the body camera and pretend to find them.
Yeah, this is now we got to start digging up tweets when people were begging for body cameras. We have to go dig back to like 2014 when everybody is like, body cams are going to change everything.
I don't know, man. I think there was maybe a period where I thought they made a big difference. And I know that like
I watched a motherfucker get killed the other day on body camera. And then just in the comments, hundreds of thousands of people. I saw him. He was reaching for a gun. He was doing it. It was just like immediate. And it's just. Takes the wind out of me every time.
Yeah, yeah, and you're right. Like, I think you're the one that there was a time where you pointed out to me that sometimes they'll pull up and open their hoods on their cars so the dash cam is covered. I think you sent me a picture of that at one point, and I'm like, I mean, we have to abolish policing in its current state. That's what has to happen. There's there's not a middle ground. The body cameras don't help because nobody ever gets in trouble for the body cameras. They don't accept police never accept responsibility for the bad police in their midst. They never. They're like a gang.
Yeah, it's a horrible way to run an organization. And I mean they can try out for the new police stuff, but it's gonna be a little bit different. Structuring than before, and right. There's gonna be a lot of cleaning.
Well, what do you the police Department of Sanitation and Policing, that's what we're gonna do.
Yeah, you have to go help people that are stuck on the side of the road, and you have to water the flowers and community gardens shit, and then if somebody's waving a gun around, you got to go try to get away from them.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely, man. The People's Justice Project in Columbus, Ohio, I just want to say, is like the best organization.
We got to get them on. We'll figure out how to get them on.
It's the one. I am inspired by every one of their marches. I'm looking at their page for that story about the police. They are for Palestinian rights. They always are making sure the Palestinians are brought up. They're talking about the police. They have a Cleveland police officer that came out and like broke the code of silence of the police. And they're just really the People's Justice Project. If you're in Columbus and you can work with them or help them in any way, that is a group that like I stand behind those people for sure.
Oh, yeah. And especially if you want to win. I mean, they are very successful, too, and very dedicated. And and also it's a group also that definitely a part of this socialist radical movement. I've had plenty of radical conversations with members of that organization, you know, that know what's up with anti-capitalist thought, you know, and that get fucking erased as brochelists.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, that was the other police the body camera story is, I mean, that is so like now thinking about them putting on little shows for the body cameras is like infuriating me.
I didn't even think about that, to be honest. I don't know why. I didn't give it too much thought, but yeah, you could just say, hey, what's that in there? You know, I'm walking up on this place and
I like the act. Hey, what's that over there on the side of the road? I found some heroin capsules.
Yep. Yeah, that's how people know it's real. That'll hold up in court.
I found some of these cocaine cigarettes. They call them Primos. Mo's for short.
Yeah.
This is July. You brought the story up. So the ACLU filed a lawsuit against Columbus for excessive use of force on demonstrators. I was actually here for this.
All right. You were in the mix?
Yeah. Somehow I end up at the ones that end up in the news. This one was a big one, though. This was on January. This was right after. It was the first protest when we got back from the inauguration. They did a protest. I can't remember what it was for. I think it was immigration. It was right before. No, it was before. It was just one of those, you know, fuck Trump rally. We need to all get out here and show people that we hate Donald Trump rallies, I believe.
Yeah.
And today, the ACLU of Ohio filed a lawsuit on behalf of three individuals who were pepper sprayed at close range while peacefully demonstrating in downtown Columbus on January 30th against the federal government's Muslim ban. Columbus police followed our clients, peaceful demonstrators exercising their First Amendment rights, and sprayed them directly in the face from not more than a few feet away. This unconstitutional use of force is part of a pattern of police misconduct, said Elizabeth Bonham, staff attorney at the ACLU of Ohio. Police video shows that officers maliciously targeted our clients, even joking about who would get to spray each person. These were people that had a sign.
Dude,
I know who they are.
They were joking about who got to spray who.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what they get up there and they get in those protest lines and they're so excited to pepper spray people or to beat somebody up. That's what happened at the Stonewall at the Pride Parade. They were just so excited that they were going to get to beat somebody up and be in a violent thing. They have adrenaline. I always picture them as when I was a kid in the neighborhood I grew up in, there was probably a fight every week. And it would just everybody, all the dudes in my circle of friends would just be buzzing with excitement. We'd all be walking across the neighborhood like, "Ooh, let's do this. You know, we're going to really whoop their ass." I'm really excited. And when I see the cops at those protests, I get that vibe off of them. That vibe of we're going to crack some fucking skulls. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. I get that. I still get that feeling sometimes where I'm like, I want to get in a fucking fight tonight. You just feel crazy. But, and that's what it was. They were waiting to pounce on them. And they took their moment and they went in and clobbered them.
Yeah, they did. They did. They,
and people and they, cheered it.
Those guys, they sprayed. It was a big march. There's a big turnout. I've seen, that was the one where I've seen the number 3,000, an estimate of 3,000 people downtown. They covered the whole statehouse lawn and they decided to march down to the police station. It was actually put on by Socialist Alternative. We got to give them props because they put on some pretty big protests sometimes.
That's true. Yeah.
We give the DSA props on the show. We gave the People Justice Project, but also in Columbus, Socialist Alternative is always doing something.
I need to get my life together. I can't juggle everything. I really can't juggle. It's so hard to juggle all this stuff.
Yeah. Well, at that time, it was when me and you were taking turns going to protest.
Yeah.
And I just got the one with a bunch of people. But they marched down to the police station and the police were doing that thing where they're like, "Stay on the sidewalk, stay on the sidewalk." And 3,000 people can't stay on the sidewalk. There's not enough space on the sidewalk. It was happening at 7 or 8 o'clock at night, which in downtown Columbus, this is not New York. This is not Grand Central Station. By 8 o'clock at night in Columbus, Ohio, there is nobody downtown. There's no traffic where the police station is, between the state house and the police station. It's just not, people leave, go disperse from that part of the city as soon as the workday is done. You know, none of the restaurants are even open. So they kept saying, "You're blocking traffic." And I just remember thinking, what traffic? Come on.
Right.
We're inconveniencing a few people.
Yeah, people got to pull around.
Yeah. And it's not a lot.
They'll live.
Yeah. This wasn't and they
Columbus isn't a busy city. I mean, obviously.
Not that part of the city. Especially the downtown area is not a happening city. Everything happens in neighborhoods off of a strip through the middle of the city. So there's a road called High Street and there's neighborhoods off of it. And that's where everybody hangs out with. They don't really hang out in the central business district. You know, I'm sure it's like that in New York too. And every other city, the business district is not a place that people are like, "Woo."
Yeah. 5 PM
down to, but it was just, when we got to the police station, I know that people were standing in front of it, but there were a lot of people in the street. There was a lot of libs thanking the police, but also being very nervous about being in the street. And the police were like, "Get off the street, get off the street, get off the street." And these people had a sign that said "Whose streets are streets" or something to that effect. And they just unfurled it and was like, "Let's just stand here. You know, as long as we're all doing it, nobody's going to get," and then, you know, not a lot of solidarity with those guys. I mean, it was people that, but they were brave, I thought. They were trying to take their street, you know? And the police walked up and sprayed them in their eyes, and it got violent. And it really was just the police. They were not stopping a public disturbance is the thing. And they are. I mean, again, Columbus police are known as having a lot of force.
They have. You know? I mean, this year they've been doing horrible. I mean, I don't know why everybody else isn't complaining. I don't know. Unless it's just because you're brainwashed. You're just propagandized to the point where you can, and privilege. You see those articles and you just look in your brain and you think, oh, I mean, that's just what they have to do to get their job done. These people are complaining just because they want to do bad stuff, you know?
Right. And we're talking, I know it sounds like flippant to just be like, you know, it's just privilege. But I didn't know that they were a problem until I was actually willing to listen and pay attention to what was going on. I always thought they were a pretty mild police department.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
They're violent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to get this story from The Intercept done. Before, I mean, we used to be Glenn Greenwaldians, they used to call.
That's true. Back in the day, we were a bunch of just a Greenwaldian fuckheads.
Greenwaldian trolls. But he wrote an article today that kind of made me a little bit nervous. You know what I mean?
Really?
The criminalization of political speech and activism against Israel has become one of the gravest threats to free speech in the West. In France, activists have been arrested and prosecuted for wearing T-shirts advocating a boycott of Israel. The UK has enacted a series of measures designed to outlaw such activism. In the US, governors compete with one another over who can implement the most extreme regulations to bar businesses from participating in any boycotts aimed even at Israeli settlements, which the world regards as illegal. On U.S. campuses, punishment of pro-Palestine students for expressing criticisms of Israel is also commonplace. He's going through this. But now a group of 43 senators, 29 Republicans and 14 Democrats, wants to implement a law that would make it a felony for Americans to support the international boycott against Israel, which was launched in protest of that country's decade-old occupation of Palestine. The two primary sponsors of the bill are Democrat Ben Cardin of Maryland and Republican Rob Portman of Ohio.
Oh, what the fudge.
Now we got to deal with Rob Portman. I'm not even allowed to go to his office anymore.
Yeah, they took body cam pictures of your face.
Now you got to go.
What the fuck? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Perhaps the most shocking aspect is the punishment. Anyone guilty of violating the prohibitions will face a minimum civil penalty of $250,000 and a maximum criminal penalty of $1 million and 20 years in prison.
So if I buy the off-brand SodaStream, they're going to fucking find me?
I don't know. I can't really. Hopefully the article explains it. But yeah, participating in BDS, I guess, is against the law.
I guess maybe they blocked the boats. Like, remember when they did that? That was badass in California. That
ruled. Yeah.
Block the boats maybe would count.
They're going to punch you in the fucking head if you don't buy Sabra hummus.
Yeah, I buy generic hummus.
Me too. So I specifically, even if Sabra's cheaper, I don't buy it. I know that's like the most pathetic like form of protest.
Yeah, you put your fist up while you do it too. Free my people in Palestine.
Yeah, my wife and kid don't buy Sabra hummus because I was like, yeah, we just let's not have that in the house.
Yeah,
my wife like will pour. I feel so, but like she'll be talking to people.
There's
like,
the rules.
No, we don't buy Sabra
hummus. We're not a Sabra home. Yeah, my wife doesn't even care why, actually, which is kind of weird, but. She doesn't even know. She's like, I was like, we can't buy that. She's like, oh, okay. Because of what? Because of a bad thing? I'm like, yeah, because of a bad thing.
Hey, dude, you know what? If that's all, if she's that down with the cause and like trust you, you know, we've said before, there's people that we trust with political opinions and we'll just be like, fuck it. Yeah. Cool with me.
I do the heavy lifting when it comes to figuring out what products we boycott. Although now I'm worried, you know, she's going to turn down the wrong pita and get in trouble.
Yeah,
that Jerusalem salad is good. I'll eat that. I love that stuff.
Is it made by?
Yeah, the one I eat here. One of my favorite pita places here is from Israel style, Israeli whatever.
But no, as long as it's not from there.
Oh, okay.
You're allowed to allowed to eat falafel.
It's
but
good.
If they made it there,
no.
No. Do not. Like, Sabra's made on occupied land. Sabra hummus is made on occupied land.
Soda Stream's office
are made on occupied land.
And that Radiohead place where he's going to go perform is built on, like, what used to be people's homes. They just got bulldozed.
He was flipping people off.
Tom York?
Yeah, he was on stage doing his, like... And then the drums were going... in a fucking rhythmic noise that nobody understands, and fucking people were going ape shit in the audience.
Yeah, people were going nuts.
Well, this guy's a fucking genius, man. Oh my god,
this is better than Gloucester.
And then, like, people were waving Palestinian flags, and he flipped them off, and I just like, fuck you, dude. Fuck you, Tom York. He thinks it's because music should be above, like, playing politics. And it's like, no, that's the least gutsy stance you can possibly ever take.
Yeah.
Gutless, I think, is the stance I'm saying.
I'd like to at least see the acknowledgement of what's happened. I mean, I can, that boilerplate point about, like, we play in America even though we don't support Trump. It doesn't really hold up when it's like, but would you play on, like, a stadium where, like, the Move 9 bombing happened? Would you play on, like, people's fucking graves? You know, like, how much do you give a shit at all?
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, if somebody told you that, would you be like, no, mate, I don't want to play with me band there?
How do they?
That's how he talks.
No, mate, I wouldn't play. I love, you know what? I've been waiting for fucking years to make fun of Radiohead.
This is a good
fucking bunch of nerds, man.
This is your chance.
Nerdlingers out there playing in occupied lands. You're right, though.
They're like, too, by their computer people. He thinks like a computer. He's binary.
He does. How far? You're right about that, though, man. Because, like, a lot of times, like, his argument for it, and I want to try to be kind of fair.
You never are.
I'm not. But I want to just get his argument is that, like, the people who live there shouldn't be punished because of what their government does.
Sure.
But it's like, well, the people who live there aren't going to put pressure on their government unless you inconvenience them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's kind of like it's a movement thing. It's not just like we don't play places we don't like. It's like we've all been trying to focus our attention on this one place for it to change. It was the same thing with what happened in South Africa.
Right. It's apartheid.
Yeah.
And they're just like, I'm cool with it. I mean, the people that are participating in apartheid didn't do nothing to me.
sure. They want to hear me say, sucking on a lemon.
That's my guitar noise for him. Yeah. There's somebody listening that's like, you know, they're fucking pissed. Radiohead doesn't suck, man. Just because you don't agree with their politics doesn't make their songs bad.
No, I do. That does bum me out. I listened to that re-release of the OK Computer, and it was pretty good.
One of my favorite albums ever.
Dude, the riffs are fucking tight in that. And even the unreleased song was super dope.
I didn't like most of the stuff after it.
The two computery shit?
Yeah, when they just started, like... I don't know. It sounded like back when I was a kid, we had this like computer program where you had to type in all the drums it wanted to play or whatever, and then you'd play it and the song would play.
Right.
And it always just sounded like fucking shit. You know what I mean? Because I don't know what a drum is. That's what their music sounded like to me after that. It's like, it's the same thing that turned me off of the Mars Volta after a while. It's like, man, I do not want to hear 2 minutes of bird noises in the middle of a song.
It's like, the problem is that the people get so excited, like, no, now make it more complex. Now make it more mysterious. Now make it more twisted. Now make it more robotic. You know, make it more, put like more meta critical thoughts into it.
It's like, I'm too stupid for this.
Yeah, it's going too far.
All right.
Yeah, that sucks, man. I mean, musical heroes, tough to have. I mean, they have a gift, and it's playing music, and that somehow clouds their brains into thinking.
Yeah, too I mean, much. They're dipshits, really. I mean, they're no smarter than any of us.
True.
Just because they're like a musical genius. Generally, people I know who have been like really, I admired their musical taste were dipshits or fucking flakes or.
Yeah.
Just like a lot of, they're unlikable people. There's nothing I can really do to.
It seems to attract, and especially the greatest ones of all.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't want to give Radiohead a fucking dime ever again. Like, no. I think boycotting works, and I don't want to give them fucking anything.
It turns me. Yeah. I mean, I it was just a nostalgia thing for me. That's what they are now at this point. They're a classic rock act.
Right. So. I don't even want to play them on Spotify at this point. Like, fuck it. Nobody play them on. Don't even give them that point of a cent. You know what I mean? There was so much stuff they did that I liked, and it seemed like also pretty good anti-capitalist political moves that they did. And now it's just like, man, your politics are shit, dude. Like,
well,
I like a lot of the stuff, like the pay what you can or this is going to be free sort of thing. Like, there's so many things that like they did when it comes to art that I love. But this really does sour. This is the type of thing that sours something.
Yeah,
me on
but I mean, you want to have adoring fans, man. You want to look down there and see all of those. You've never seen like a crowd of Israeli faces looking up at you. You gotta get like from every angle.
Doing they're all dancing like that,
staring at their shoes and shit.
I always picture
they got their
them
thumbs buried into their hoodies.
I always picture them waving around like those fucking stick, like the Bailey.
Oh, yeah. The inflatable, like, oil change.
That they
guy.
Put in front of oil change places. That's how radio fans dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, lots fuck. Of heady bros and gals, you know, get down with them.
That's sad, man. Who else did that? Roger Waters, though, is like, that's a guy, like, I hate classic rock, but I'm like, buddy, I'm perfectly fine with Roger Waters.
Yeah, he seems to know what he's doing.
Let's close the show out with a little of what we like to do now, the dare stories. You know, this is a new thing with the show. We like to hear dare stories. We're going to be back doing a call-in show on the 30th.
Yes.
And if you thought of, we're going to have a couple of cool guests. And what?
Go ahead.
We're going to have a couple of cool guests, and we'll also have you call in and talk about dare. But I wanted to give one dare story before we got out of here.
All right. Is this submitted from somebody?
Yeah. Ryan Salisbury sent this to me. Okay. His girlfriend had a dare story. She won a trophy for being the best dare student in fifth grade. In high school, her friend's mom caught them smoking weed and emailed her mom about it. Her mom dug the dare trophy out and put it on her dresser and said, "I can't believe how much you've changed since then." Nobody believed in dare.
Yeah.
Nobody that was doing it was believe. They weren't making lifelong promises.
This is a guy like a Jeff Sessions style of thinking. When you look down on everybody else and you think you're like this patriarchal genius that can make rules, and you just think that children can be. You just brainwash them. You just tell them what you want them to think and they'll follow your orders. You
yeah.
know? They think that we just have them come in and tell them all the drugs are bad and they'll ruin your life and kids are just going to not experiment with them.
Yeah.
Case closed.
Did you ever do the prom promise? Was that something that they did in your school?
Well, no, they did it at the school, but I was like, I'm definitely going to try to drink if I can.
I did it so I could get the shirt because it was like basically like, here's the prom prompt.
Was it drinking or sex?
It was drinking and sex and drugs. It was like, you're not going to drink, have sex, or do drugs after the prom. That's the prom promise.
I knew a thing or two about being cool at that time in my life. I would not sign that kind of a contract. I don't want someone to dig into my school record. Records and be like, Brett signed the prom promise. That would ruin us.
Right. I signed it because I wanted the fucking t-shirt because I thought it was hilarious to get the t-shirt.
I've never been
That's
a fan of free t-shirts or like, get that away from me.
Sure. There was a time in my life where I thought having an ironic T-shirt. Ironic, I won't do drugs.
Okay.
Or have sex or drink T-shirt thing was like, I'm like, yeah.
Now I see what you're saying.
And that's what people do with Dare shirts too.
No, that was huge. Actually, all of the house shows that I went to, all the hardcore shows would be punk shows would be literally guys wearing Dare shirts, drinking beers and smoking joints and shit.
Oh, they're not even saying sex anymore though. That's nice, man. So the prom promises, I name hereby promise to behave responsibly before, during and after name of school prom. I commit to an alcohol and drug free prom night because I care about my fellow students, my community and myself.
You know what I did after prom? They had this, what they would did to wait, is that how it went down?
I don't know.
After prom, they had like this lock-in where basically to get kids not to party after prom, you could stay at the school overnight.
After prom. They call it just after prom. After prom party.
Yeah.
In Groveport, it was called after prom.
Yeah.
They would get like an inflatable in those stupid sumo wrestler costumes.
Yeah, so what we did when we were, you had to be, you could only be in 11th and 12th grade to do it, right?
Yeah.
So when I was in 10th grade, what we did on that night was we, all the kids were there. They drove up there in their cars. So we went and threw like SpaghettiOs and eggs and bologna and like vomit and trash and mustard all over their fucking cars and wrecked the whole goddamn good parking lot.
Good. Fuck them nerds. You're a fucking worst kid. Like, I always get such a bad rap on this show. Like, he was just a fucking druggie at 12 and you were throwing bologna at people's cars. Like,
yeah,
you were damaging other, I did too sometimes, but you were damaging other people.
Yeah, I did.
You really wanted to go to that after prom, didn't you?
Yeah, I just wanted them to have a bad time, I think.
That's true. That's true. Hey, I'm with it, man. I'm with that. All right, man. That was a good show.
Yeah. Sorry for the disagreement there about Nazi police.
It's okay. Hey, you know, sometimes we're going to disagree on whether the police are Nazis or not.
That's true. That's why people show up, because they get two sides of the coin from us. Thank you
the
for...
The police are Nazis? Or the police are not Nazis?
Almost those Nazis. Are the two. They would do Nazi stuff if ordered to someone. But,
That's Nazi though.
Right. They have a Nazi mentality.
Yeah.
We are Street Fight Radio. We are here every single week, two times a week. We're wanting to go to three times a week. We've been talking about it. We're going to, I think, restructure the Patreon this month. And we'll explain that to you when? Next week?
I don't know. We're not going to change. We're not. Most of you aren't going to get like much of a change, because we're, if you're already subscribing, you're getting it, you know.
Yeah.
What I mean, the third show, but people who don't subscribe who want that third show, it takes up a lot of time. It takes up an hour and a half or so, maybe 2 hours, but it's like, it's just a lot, it's more work on top of a lot of work that we do. So we want to see if I guess people are interested in having it. It's not going to be canon. Like, it's not going to be a street fight. It's going to be another show that'll be on the Patreon.
Yeah, and we're going to do it for $1 because it's ridiculous that everybody's asking $5. There's like 800 podcasts now. You pay, you know, people are paying, I'm sure, hundreds of dollars a month to podcasts. The gracious people that have it, you know.
And, you know, and there are a lot of people that, I mean, there's also going to be a, I think there might even be a $3 plan that where you get third show and you get an article from the zine, my article from the zine.
Yeah, that's the basically what we're going with. It's going to be $1 to get an extra show each week. That's only a quarter per show. It'll be $1 at the beginning of the month, and that just goes to pay for Brian and I to have more time for, you know, doing more projects, getting more things done, and doing the shows. I'm planning on maybe doing shows about anime. Brian and I will probably watch some movies and stuff.
We're going to do a show about comics. I have a show, and you're going to get it. This one's going to be free because you give people something free and then you hook them. I got a show with Sam Knight. So the call-in show will not be the third show, but we'll figure it out. We got this.
Yeah, you'll get bonus shows. We're gonna do truly bonus shows for people that want them. And then if you can't afford it, just ask for it, and we'll give you the feed for free.
Yeah, just DM me. If you can't pay $1 a month, DM me, and I'll let you know where it's at. We just want a general most
it's a lot.
People to pay for it.
Three is a lot to do, and for where we're at with the budget, you know, Brian has benefited a lot more financially than I have. You know, I'm able to take care of debts and other these things. I'm doing great, but more than anything, I want the extra money to work on projects. I want the extra money so that we could, you know, throw huge events and pay for it. And, you know, maybe we could even get to the point where we don't have to charge admission to shows anymore. It's just like a crowdfunded thing, you know. But it just takes a bigger budget. And I know it seems like we already haven't so much, but it just really goes out the window, especially because, you know, the other Patreon rewards, the zine and the Kratom, you know, we got to pay money to send all that out and to buy it. And from now on, you're looking at $1 for the third show, $3 for the live videos and the one hitter from the zine.
Yeah.
And the
third one hitter is cool as hell.
So we're going to lower the price on the videos too. That way everybody can see them. That's going to be $3. $5 will get you the zine, because the production on that is still so high. $10 will get you the Kratom, and then $13 will get you the Loot Zine Kratom. So that's what we're looking at right now. And,
basically the same. You can steal the show. We won't hate you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many shows we're going to, I don't even know if it's a guarantee what the shows are going to, what the release number or it's going to look like, but you know, it'll be an extra show a week, I think is what
we're. Yeah. It might even be four. You might end up with four shows in a week. Cause
right.
The call in is not where we won't put the call in behind a paywall. Cause that would be the dumbest fucking thing in the world.
The call in show. Yeah. The call in show was easy breezy and that didn't take any effort. That's probably going to be just an add on. I want to do things like, I'd really like to sit down and play some of my favorite music. I want to do like a DJ thing where I pick a topic like krautrock, or I want to play my favorite sampled songs, like rap hits, the original songs that I like a lot, and kind of do some of that. So, you know, money is a good motivator, and it also helps us to get, you know, space for like an office, which is something else we're looking at right now. So there's lots of big things on the
it
way.
Also
we're
helps
just getting
me pay
started.
My bills, which I'm still not. I have $11 in the bank right now, so
true.
I'm not living rich. I promise you, we're not splitting this $5,000 two ways. We are putting it back in the business.
Yeah.
And we're only cutting ourselves. We're really not. We're still making like part time wages.
Well, no, I mean we're making. We haven't, and that's the thing. We haven't made this all year long. We were making $1,000 a month in January. You know, we've moved quite a bit, but now we actually have hit one of our goals. One of our early goals. We said that we just wanted to make enough to be considered on welfare, which was like $11,000 a year, and I think we have surpassed that mark now.
Yeah,
we're now getting $1,000 a month each, so so that is a big win for us. But Brian wants to save his wife from wage slavery, so please help us do that by paying for that third show on Patreon, patreon.com/streetfightradio. And I'll be doing, you know, there's be more posting going on in there too.
Yeah, this is gonna be so. That third show is gonna be so fucking cool. I promise you that it won't be a waste of your dollar. It is gonna be very much value on that show.
Very much value.
And get that damn zine, man. The zine is great.
Yeah, the zine is something you probably should be paying attention to. We've already have it planned out into next year, so we're not slowing down. It's not gonna sputter out. I mean, this is the beginning of greatness. This is like the foundation of a brand new thing. So history is being made. That first zine is sold out. I mean, there's 350 of those and that's all there is. So until we put out an anthology or something, number two is sold out as well. I've got a few at my house. We'll probably maybe do a contest or hand those out to some of our top listeners. But the zine is something you want to get in on. You're going to kick yourself. As soon as you get that first one in the mail, you're going to be like, God damn it. I wish I would have signed up earlier. So now's the time to do it. We're doing a big push of this year, and we need support and help from all of you. And that's also, man, plane money to get to California, to get to Texas, to get to Canada, to get
Florida.
To,
we want to go to Florida.
Yeah, Florida. We started
talking
about
to Orlando.
We're looking at that winter, like, wait a second, how can we get to Denver? How can we get to California? How can we get to Florida? How can we get to Texas in the winter? So get ready, because it's going down. We've also got, we are definitely doing a live show. We just found out about it. I don't think we can say it, but we are going to be at the DSA convention.
If you're going to be able to see us.
Yeah. We're going to be hanging out. We're going to have some things planned. So stay tuned for all of that. It's going to be a fucking good time. And I'm really excited about it. This is amazing that this is our job. I can't believe it, but I'm ready to work.
I'd love to get some good drugs at any of these upcoming things.
Yeah, I want some cocaine. If anybody could bring me a gram of coke, I will pay for it.
Oxycontin, baby. We'll bring the first zine. We'll have two zines.
That's true.
We'll have what's left of the rare zines with us in Chicago and Milwaukee.
Okay, that works for me. Thank you for listening. We're Street Fight. Peace.
I love my buddies. I hatchet man, but I love my axe. My axe is my bunty. I bring him when I walk. Me and my axe will leave your head outlined in chalk. My axe is my bunty. He always makes me laugh. Me and my axe cut big and spinal cords in half. My axe is my bunty, and when I wind him back, me and my axe will give your forehead a butt crack. My axe is my bunty. I never leave without him. Me and my axe will leave your neck a bloody fountain. Chip, chip, chip.
Everybody, 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 run!
Murdering, 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 everybody,
swing, swing, swing!
Chop, chop, chop,
buddy, swing, swing, swing!
Chop, chop, chop,
chop!
We right the planet's wrongs.
Me and my axe leave bigots dead on Michi lawn.
My axe is my bunty. He never make me cry.
Me and my axe will leave a pivot for your eye.
My axe is my bunty. Don't take him for a chump.
Me and my axe will leave you hopping on a stump. Chip, chip, chip.
Everybody, everybody, everybody run!
Murdering,
murdering, murdering, everybody
die. Swing, swing, swing!
Chop, chop, chop!
Swing, swing, swing!
Chop, chop, chop!
Everybody, everybody, everybody run!
Murdering, 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 everybody die.
Swing, swing, swing!
Chop, chop, chop!
Swing, swing, swing!
Chop, chop, chop!
Look into the deadest tree. Tell me, baby, what you see? Don't you hear the branches cry?
Asking for the reasons why.
Did they hang so many men
from the branches off of them?
Why did humans make them play with them in their evil way?
Look into the moon's beam.
Can you fathom what it seen?
Bodies dragging from a truck,
driven by a bigot fuck.
Why you think the heavens cry?
Acid rain and blizzard skies.
Ain't no covering the tracks.
And that's why I'm here. And oh yes,
my axe is my bunty. He'll thump into your head.
Me and my axe will make your white hoodies red.
My axe is my bunty. You let that Dixie wave.
Me and my axe will fuck your mother on your grave.